Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. Hi, this is Ella. Welcome to Enchanted Beast Podcast. Today's episode, I'm dipping in your spank bank, baby. I'm visiting you on your fantasy island. It's Freaky Friday, and I want to know why you're so ashamed to tell your man or your woman what your fantasies are. Man, I've been waiting all week for this. I have been doing research. I've been looking at a bunch of wonderful semi-soft porn-like things. I've also been looking at a lot of psychological analyses and studies because sexual fantasies are more than just about sex. So, I have a list. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different than I normally do. It's not just about me talking about fantasies and how they work and how you can utilize them in a way to enhance your sexual life, because it's not about that for me at this particular juncture. No, today, I'm going to focus on seven dark fantasies that research has shown most women have had at least once in their life. And these are dark fantasies, not the happy-go-lucky fantasies, not the my husband comes home and I'm wearing a cute negligee and he throws me on the bed and then we make passionate love. No, not that fantasy. I'm talking about really, really dark fantasies that can be embarrassing or disturbing or cause you to question some stuff about yourself as a woman. I want to focus on those. Now, here's my take. Every fantasy can just be exactly what it is, a fantasy. But I'm more inclined to believe that fantasies are a way for our enchanted beast to communicate with us what we need from ourselves and from our lovers. I mean, let's think about this. Women are extremely sexual creatures, but most of us are living in very patriarchal societies, and we are made to feel ashamed of that sexual aspect of ourselves. Our beast houses that sexuality, lives on that sexuality, thrives in that sexuality, and wants us to do the same. But in a culture that says women are not really supposed to be all that sexual, we're more the receivers of a man's sexual urges. We're not necessarily supposed to have our own. Then, yeah, it becomes really difficult to not only acknowledge that you have fantasies, but that you have dark fantasies, and then to be willing to share those fantasies with your lover. It becomes very difficult. And anything that thwarts the happiness of our enchanted beast will become a problem. So, I have to give this caveat that everything I'm talking about today takes place within a safe, sane, and consensual sexual relationship. Okay? Everything I'm talking about today takes place within a safe, sane, and consensual sexual relationship. Now that's my caveat. Now we can move into it. I'm looking at these seven darker fantasies that every woman at least once has had in her life. I'm going to talk about each of them. But then I want to give you what the enchanted beast says about each of them. What the enchanted beast says you need based on each of these fantasies, okay? So here's how it works. With all my research, I broke these seven fantasies down into three categories. The first category is, this is so embarrassing. The second category is, God, I should probably have my head checked out. And the third category is, I don't know what this means for me. Okay? First category, this is so embarrassing, but I fantasize about people watching me and my lover have sex. I fantasize about public sex. I don't know why, I just do. I'm embarrassed. I don't know why it happens. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who don't thoroughly enjoy having sex in public places, that they're not people who really enjoy being watched as they are together with other people. Exhibitionism is a true thing, and voyeurism is a true thing. There are people who love to show themselves in that light, and there are people who love to watch them. So if that's a fantasy that you have, and it's something that you are honestly, seriously wanting to pursue, there's no need to be embarrassed about that. If that were not something that exists, then there wouldn't be a counterpart for it. You understand what I'm saying? If you know that you are a sexual exhibitionist, then you can bet your bottom dollar that there are sexual voyeurs out there. And there are safe, sane, consensual environments in which you can live that fantasy out. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no need to be embarrassed about that, if it is indeed something that you want to pursue. I say go for it. If your lover, if your partner, your spouse, whomever you're with, if this person is down for it and it's that thing that you really want to do, I say try everything once, twice if you like it. If you want to go out there and be an exhibitionist in a safe and sane consensual environment, and you're sure that the people who are watching, you engage in whatever it is you're willing to share with the public, that they want to be there, they've consented to be there, they're in their right mind and they're safe, then I don't have a problem with that, and neither should you, because it's not about what others tell you is right or wrong. It is about what's right for you, what's right for you and your partner, right? But what if you really have no desire to ever in your whole life let anybody see you and your lover having sex? What if the whole idea of being seen in that position mortifies you, but you just can't stop thinking about it? You can't stop fantasizing about it, but you know if you ever, ever were caught in that situation, you would die of embarrassment. What if that's your situation? Well, here's the beast's response to, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I fantasize about having sex in public. The beast says, perhaps you're insecure in your sexual performance. You're not comfortable with your physical appearance during times of intimacy. Wait, what? What do you mean? Think about it. if you're fantasizing about being sexual on a stage or in front of people, and you have people who are watching you and they enjoy what you're doing, then that's a real kind of empowering act, right? I mean, not only must I be like the bomb sex kitten, but I must look amazing while I'm doing it. Because who's going to look at something that isn't great to watch, and who's going to enjoy something that isn't good, right? So my beast says, perhaps you're having performance anxiety. You're not quite sure you're measuring up to your lover's standard. Maybe you're not comfortable with the way your body looks when you're having sex. Maybe you got a roll or two that you're not comfortable with, a dip or so in your thighs. Maybe you don't like the way your boobs fall over to the side when you're on your back. I mean, you don't like the way they hang when you're on your knees. It's just, maybe you're not comfortable with the physical way you appear when you are engaged in sexual activity. So this fantasy of being watched on a stage and being enjoyed and appreciated, maybe that's your beast way of saying you're beautiful. You're perfect. Everything about you is amazing. Anyone would love to experience how gorgeous and fluid you are when you are in coitus. Perhaps that fantasy is your beast's way of saying you've nothing to be insecure about, baby. If your sex life is only about the physical, then you have a bigger problem than wanting to be seen on stage. But you're gorgeous. There's no way you cannot be beautiful when you're in the throes of creation, right? So if you're fantasizing about having sex in public and you know there's no way in hell you would ever do something like that, not in real life, then maybe you need to consider taking a look inside. Am I insecure? Do I feel like I'm not measuring up? Do I not want him to see me with the lights on? If that's your case, then your beast is just telling you, girl, please, you're gorgeous. You're glowing when you're in the throes of the good time, right? So, this is so embarrassing, but I fantasize about being treated like a prostitute. My friends and I, forever ago, we were talking, and I said, I know what I want for my 25th wedding anniversary. And they were like, what? I said, here's my thing. I'm going to dress up as a high-end escort, and I am going to be sitting at a bar in a hotel restaurant, right? I said, I want my husband to come in and pick me up as an escort. Yes, I want him to wear his wedding band. I want him to tell me he's married. I want him to tell me it's his anniversary weekend. But I want to be the escort. And I want him to have one night with an escort and treat me like he would treat that escort. That fantasy has never changed for me. That is still what I want for my 25th wedding anniversary. I have a while to go. We're coming up on 19 years. So 20, I have like what, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, I have 6 years. 6 years, and I'm going to live this fantasy out because I've had it forever. And I guess I'm supposed to be embarrassed about it, but I'm not, because I think it'll be so hot. But some women might very well be truly embarrassed by this idea of wanting to be treated like a prostitute, or at least fantasizing about it. Now, with me, this fantasy is something that I definitely want to pursue. It is not something that I'm just in my head about. Nope, this is something that is going to happen on my 25th wedding anniversary weekend. So obviously I'm not embarrassed. But what if you're not? What if that isn't your thing? What if you haven't already planned your wig and your outfit, and you already have your colored contacts picked out? What if you have not already planned this thing down to the T because it's going to happen? What if you have no desire to be treated like a whore? What if you don't ever want anyone to treat you like a commodity, like something they have rented, like something they have purchased, like something they can discard? What if that's not what you're really into, but you keep fantasizing about being treated like a whore? What might your beast be saying to you? Beast response, fantasy number two. Perhaps your lover is holding you on some high pedestal. Perhaps he or she has placed you so high that you're too pristine, you're too perfect, you're too something for the filthy, raw, toe-curling, pull-my-hair sex that you really want. Perhaps you've been placed someplace up here in the clouds, and he pets you like a soft kitten, right? Kisses you softly, makes love to you softly, when what you really want is a good, hard fuck, right? What you really want is to have the filthiest words dribble out of his mouth. Words that would normally make you cringe, words that would normally incite anger in you if he said them to you. But that's what you want sexually. The raw, grimy, gritty dirtiness of sex, the sweat, the mixed body fluids, the biting. No, I don't want to be nibbled. I want you to clamp down on that muscle between my neck and my shoulder and leave a bruise, because I want people to know that I've been claimed. Perhaps that's where you are, right? But unfortunately, you've been placed on this pedestal and your lover has decided you're too pristine, too dirty, too sully. No, I can't do that to your mouth. You kiss my kids with those lips. I won't touch you in this way because you're the mother of my children. You go have dinner at my mom's house on Sundays. No. Maybe you want to be the freak in the bedroom and the lady in the streets, but your partner has decided you're going to be a lady in the bedroom and a lady in the street. But that's not what you need. That's not what you want. So if you're fantasizing about being a whore, being treated like a prostitute, whatever the case is, and you really have no desire to live out this fantasy at all with your significant other in a safe, sane, and consensual environment, like it's just not your thing, but you can't stop having the fantasy, then perhaps you need to let your partner know, I'll still be a lady. I'll still be a good mom. I'll still be a great daughter-in-law. But in our bedroom, in our bed, I don't want to be that. I want to be what I was before I became your wife, before I became the mother of your children, before I became your mom's daughter-in-law. I want to be what I was when we were just us. Right? Because that's what I need. That's what your beast needs. So, this is so embarrassing, but I fantasize about having a menage a trois, MMF, two men, one female, double penetration. What? Listen, I have to digress for a moment. I not only write romance and erotica, I read romance and erotica. I blow through about 5-6 books a week. If I'm so behind on writing reviews for other authors because I read so fast. But every time I run across an MMF romance, that's male, female, menage a trois romance, and that's a trope. And every trope in romance writing is just a fantasy that women really have, right? So every time I run across one, I'm just so taken in. The idea of actually being with two men at one time has never, ever, ever appealed to me personally. In a lot of ways, I'm kind of prudish, right? As I've said before, and I'll say it again, and you'll hear it another time, I'm probably one of the only women in my, you know, one of the very few women in my generation who can honestly say, yeah, I've only ever been sexually active with my husband. So in that regard, my sexual experience is probably extremely limited. However, I think that's probably the only regard in which I'm limited, right? So still this idea of like having more than one partner at one time has never appealed to me. But every time I read these books, I just can't help thinking, I don't see where any of that could ever be wrong. Like, I don't see how any part of an MMF relationship could ever go wrong as long as it's in a safe, sane, and consensual relationship. I mean, physically, there are so many ways in which the three of them can come together sexually. It's daunting, especially if the men are bisexual. So I can see where it works out. For people who are into, you know, a polyamorous relationship that actually works. But I'm a visual person. So of course, I've gone and I've looked to see, like, how does it work? Because thinking about the anatomy of a woman's body, I'm trying to figure out, how are you gonna get to, you know, even average size penises, how are you going to get one in the anus and then one in the vagina at the same time? Double penetration. I'm like, I don't understand. And then there's another form of double penetration that just blows my mind. And that's two penises, one vagina, same time. I don't even know how that works out. But I've gone in and I've looked at clips and I've seen the double penetration, anal, vaginal, and it takes a lot of coordination, and it doesn't look to be all that pleasurable, at least not to me. But what do I know? Because it's not something that I'm ever going to experience. But if indeed you don't really want to engage in a polyamorous situation and you have no desire to honestly experience double penetration, then what might this recurrent fantasy of the menage a trois, MMF, be saying to you? What might your beast be saying? Beast's response to fantasy number 3 Perhaps you need more of two different aspects from your lover. You want the sexually dominant, you know, partner in that aspect of your relationship, but you also want the romantic guy who makes you laugh and smile. It's the quintessential romantic hero. That is usually how the MMF trope is written. You have one who is extremely dominant and usually dominates both the female and the other male. And then you have a male who is a nurturer and who is sweet and who's romantic and who goes above and beyond to make sure that everybody else is doing well. You would think that it's the woman who's the glue in a polyamorous situation such as that, but normally you have an alpha dominant male, a beta male who acts as the glue, and then the woman who really is simply receiving everything a woman could ever, ever desire. She has two men. They make one perfect whole, okay? And so if you have no desire to bring another man into your relationship, right? Then perhaps what you need more of is either you want your partner to be more dominant sexually, if he's already Mr. Romance and make you laugh and smile, or you want him to be more romantic and enjoy making you laugh and smile if he's already Mr. Dominant. But it doesn't mean you want to bring in somebody else to take care of that, right? So it's about communicating this to your partner, communicating this to your lover. If you know what it is you want, if you know what you need, then convey it to him. So Beast says, yeah, if you're fantasizing about the MMF, but you know you don't want another male, you probably just need more of one of the, you know, the other situations. The romantic hero, you want all of it in one package. Second category, God, I should probably have my head checked out. But sometimes I fantasize about being totally dominated. TPE, total power exchange. What? Like, I have no choice. I am completely a sexual submissive. Whatever it is, my partner, my lover, my spouse, whatever it is, they are going to give me sexually. As a sexual submissive, I'm just going to take it. I don't want a safe word. I don't want a way to say, I don't want to do this. I don't want an out. I want to be completely sexually dominated. Now, if that's your thing, if you really, really are like, I really want to be a part of this scene. I really do want to become a part of this lifestyle, this BDSM lifestyle, then by all means, do the research, find a, you know, the right mentor, and make sure that you are in a safe and sane consensual environment. Make sure that your network is clean. Make sure you vet everyone and every situation. Because there's nothing wrong with the lifestyle. BDSM is perfect for people who need that, who want that. So if being completely dominated is not just a fantasy, but it's something that you really want to kind of dabble in, and not just dabble, it's something that you want as a part of your sexual relationship, then by all means pursue it, but do so on, you know, with the understanding that not everybody is going to be Christian Grey. Okay? So you have to make sure that you are not just, you know, pursuing something like that because you've read a couple of hot, steamy romance novels and now you want someone to chain you to a St. Andrew's cross. No, you have to make sure that if you are going to pursue it, that you do it in the safest, sanest way possible, and that you understand exactly what you're getting into. Now, if you have no desire to be strapped down to a spanking bench, if you don't really relish the idea of having a cane cracked across your butt cheeks, then, and you're still having this fantasy, what's your beast trying to tell you? Beast response to fantasy number 4. You don't want to be in control of every aspect of your life. You need a safe space to relinquish control. And this is so true for women who are powerful, who are go-getters, for women who are in charge, for women who take charge, for women who are walking in line with their beast, and they are the architects of their own life, of their own joy, their own happiness. For those of us who are taking charge of our lives, we need a safe space where we can relinquish that control, where we don't have to make a decision, where we don't have to think, where we don't have to do anything. And sometimes in our sexual beds, not having to be the one to initiate anything is a relief. Not having to be the one to decide when it happens, how it happens, how often it happens is a relief. Not having to be the one to control the sexual environment frees us up so that we can be and stay in control in the other areas of our lives. So perhaps this recurring fantasy of being completely, you know, totally dominated in every aspect of your life, including your sexual life, is really your beast way of saying to you, you need a safe space. You and your lover need to create a safe space in which you can relinquish control for a little while and not have to make decisions and not have to think and not have to be everything to everyone. You can simply be there to serve. There is a power in submitting, and it provides an outlet and a release. So, of course, your beast is all for that. She's like, yeah, girl, submit, we recharge. We got stuff to do. We have stuff to do. So yes, take this moment, be safe, be happy, relinquish control, and you know, we'll round up later on. So, God, I should probably have my head checked out, definitely, because sometimes I have fantasies about being raped. Now, I have to throw this out here really quickly. I looked up a lot of research, and apparently rape fantasies aren't as rare as one would assume. 62% of all women have admitted to saying, well, not all women, but in research, you know, in research groups, 62% of women in a 355 woman research campaign that took place across North Texas University and Notre Dame University, 62% said they had some type of rape fantasy or forced sex fantasy, and it was recurring and it was just something that happened. Now, I'm almost 1,000% sure that no woman in her right mind is going to say, yes, I want someone to rape me. No woman is going to say, I would love for someone to force me to perform oral sex on them, or, you know, force me to allow them to do the same. No, no woman is going to ever say, I am not only fantasizing about being raped. Nope, I'm going to make this fantasy happen. Maybe there are some people who say, I don't know if I want to be raped by a stranger, but I don't know if I'm against my significant other and I, my partner, who I am in, you know, a safe, sane, and consensual sexual relationship with, maybe we could plan something, right? He's waiting for me when I get home. I pretend I don't know he's going to be there. He doesn't tell me what day he's going to do it. I read a book like that, actually. It was so good, where this guy and this girl, they were like, yeah, we can do that. We can plan that whole rape fantasy thing out. And they did. So he sneaks in her window. He never told her when he was going to do it, but he sneaks in the window and he attacks. And there's a big struggle, and he struggles, and they struggle, and they struggle, and he literally he performs this rape fantasy for her. But again, that is done within a safe, sane, and consensual environment. And it was something that the female protagonist in the novel needed, and something that her lover wanted to give to her. So if you are having this rape fantasy and it is something that you want to pursue in real time, then just make sure that both you and your partner are on board, and that if it happens, when it happens, it does so within the confines of a safe, sane, and consensual environment. It's nothing wrong with that at all. The researchers found that a lot of women have these rape fantasies because they don't necessarily, like, they want something sexually, but they don't want to be responsible for asking for it. So if it's a rape situation, if I'm forced to do whatever it is, then I had no say in it. So I'm not culpable, right? Or they found that there are women who had these forced sexual situations or rape situations, and these women were just really, really sexually free. They had, you know, high self-esteem. They enjoyed sex. They just wanted something a little different, something to spice it up. Either way, there's nothing wrong with any fantasy. There's nothing wrong with bringing the fantasy to light, as long as it's done in a safe, sane, and consensual sexual environment, right? But what does our beast say? Beast response to fantasy number 5. You don't want to take responsibility for your own desires, but you know you really want them. Now, this can be a myriad of things. What if you really are having this fantasy, but you don't want to, you know, you don't really want to even ask your lover to sneak in and attack you, because it just, nothing about that seems like it's going to be sexy. But there are things that you want, but you don't want to be responsible for wanting them. Somewhere in your psyche, you have told yourself that, you know, some sexual acts are not, they're not right. I shouldn't do them. I hate that word should. I'll get on that one later. But it's not something that I need to want. Like, ooh, I really would like to ask my partner if we could maybe try anal, but I shouldn't want to do that. But if I fantasize about being anally raped, then I didn't ask for it, so it was nothing that I could do. I wasn't in control. It's not my fault that it happened. You see how that works? So what your beast is saying to you is, if you want it, if you want to try it, and you've spoken with your partner and you're in a safe, sane, and consensual relationship, and this is something that you guys have agreed to try it. You can take responsibility for your desires. You can say, I would like to try this. If it works, great. If it doesn't, okay. Because that's what our bodies are for, right? Our bodies are here to experience things. Try everything once, twice if you like it. If it's not your bag, then throw it out. But you have to take responsibility for your desires. Okay, I should probably have my head checked out, but God, sometimes I have fantasies about being kidnapped and so trafficked as a sex slave. What? What? Yeah, that's a common one. And basically it stems from the exact same place as, you know, the rape or forced sex fantasy. That desire to, you know, you have a desire for certain things sexually, but you don't want to take responsibility for them because you have bought into, you know, the myth and the lie that sexuality is dirty, it's wrong, and any other form of sexuality outside of missionary is probably a sin and against the law. But this one takes it a step further because something in you wants to get away from your current environment, right? The beast says that, you know, same as fantasy number five, beast response to fantasy number five, beast response to fantasy number six, same as number five, except you also want to be pulled away from your current life, your current situation. You need a change. You need a change of venue. You want to go somewhere different. Not necessarily be with someone different. You just want to go somewhere different. You want to get out of the house, out of the state, out of the country. You want to be yanked away and not realize that it's happening. Now, if you want this fantasy to happen, by all means, oh my God, talk to your partner. I'm not too sure that this isn't one of my fantasies now that I think about it. Maybe I can combine fantasy six with fantasy two. I'll come up with fantasy eight. I want to be a prostitute who is kidnapped and sold into the sex slave market. I don't know. I think that'd be great. Right? I meet my husband at the bar. I'm dressed as an escort. I think we're going to have a nice evening because he's paid for it. But then he's like, can I blindfold you? And I say yes. Can I handcuff you? And I say yes. Can I gag you? And I say yes. And then I'm kidnapped, thrown in the back of his car, and he takes me away for the weekend. That would be amazing as a fantasy. And then he treats me like a sex slave for the entire weekend. I am on it. I like it. I think that would be great. Fantasy number eight. I am an escort who gets kidnapped and sold into the sex slave trade. Okay. I have totally gone off the rails, and for that, I will not apologize. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh yes, your beast. If you want to actually live out the fantasy, I say go ahead. That might be a lot of fun, actually, within the confines of, you know, your relationship. But if it's not something that you're into, you have no desire to have your partner whisk you away for, you know, a weekend of debauchery. It's not quite your thing to be gagged and bound and blindfolded. Okay, it's fine. You don't have to really do it, but there is something that your beast is telling you you need. You need change. You need movement. You need something different in your sexual life. You're tired of having sex in the bed all the time. What happened to the floor? There's a nice car and the seats recline. Why can't you go to the bathtub? Why can't you, you know, go out back? Hopefully you have a fence. There's a hammock, right? You need movement. You need mobility within your sex life. And you want to be able to ask for what you want to be able to ask for without having your partner look at you like you might really be a head case, right? So take responsibility for your desires and make sure you let your partner know, I want more. I want a more mobile sex life. I'm tired of relegating our sexuality to a bed, right? Your beast is a sexual creature. She requires a lot. Okay, I don't know what this means, but I masturbate to fantasies of me with another woman. Fantasy 7, lesbian sex. Look, if you want to live that fantasy out, make sure you talk with your partner and let them know. I don't think I'm bisexual. I don't think I'm a lesbian, but I just can't stop thinking about what it might be like. I don't know if I want to pursue it, but I think I might, right? I don't know. If that's something that you want to pursue, make sure that you do so. If you're in a relationship, make sure that you're doing it with, you know, the consent of your partner and that it's safe and you're sane and you know what's happening and you know the ramifications of it. Most women who have this lesbian sex fantasy, most straight women who have lesbian sex fantasies aren't bisexual. They aren't bi-curious. They don't necessarily want to be with a woman. But what the Beast says is truly happening is they want more tenderness. They're seeking to be cared for during and after the sexual situation. They want the nurturing. They want gentleness, a softer touch, right? So your Beast, if you're fantasizing about women, you know, when you're masturbating or just in general, then more than likely, if you're straight and you're not bi-curious, more than likely, your Beast is saying that in your sexual relationship, you need more cuddles. You need to be held. You need to be touched more. Even outside of the sexual relationship, you need the gentleness. You need to be cared for, right? You need your partner to give you a bath and wash your hair and oil you and not try and penetrate, right? You need that gentleness. You need to be cared for by your lover. Now, those are all my fantasies, right? Those are the fantasies, the darker ones that we don't always talk about. And yeah, like I said, I find no fault with any of them. If it's something you want to pursue, as long as it's done within a safe, sane, and consensual environment, have at it. All in all, your fantasies are your Beast way of communicating that your sex life is lacking and you deserve to have the most enchanting sexual experiences you can, right? What is sexual enchantment? It's intimacy. It's trust. Be brave enough to honor what you need. Expect to be misunderstood at first. Assert your right to get what you want. Stop at nothing to satisfy your sexual appetite. And trust your Beast to guide you in the direction that is right for you. As always, I consult my Beast. Be brave enough to honor what you need. E, expect to be misunderstood at first. A, assert your right to get what you want. S, stop at nothing to satisfy your sexual appetite. T, trust your Beast to guide you in the direction that's right for you. B-E-A-S-T. Beast. Your Beast is always seeking to enchant every experience. She enchants your sexual experience by seeking intimacy and building trust. Every fantasy is about intimacy and trust. Every fantasy leads you to more enchantments. I have really enjoyed this podcast. You'll hear from me again on Monday to motivate the beginning of another enchanting week. Enjoy your weekend and stay enchanted, beast. This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember, stay enchanted.